Though it might not seem like it, really I don't have a Memorial Day message today. I was telling in prayer meeting today that in all these years, this is probably the first time I've not preached a Memorial Day sermon. But I am preaching on a subject today that those that have gone before, those who have served, you know, in wars, both foreign and domestic, those who have served this nation and served the Lord, they provided us with something that sometimes we don't really have in our life, you know, and that is hope. So I want to talk to you today about hope. And I know sometimes it seems like if we watch the news or we read the paper, it just seems like there's not a lot of hope. And then when I was getting ready, that question is, you know, okay, I'm going to preach on hope, but is there any hope? No, is there really any hope? And I began to think about it as this question, is there any hope? Each one of us at some point in our life will ask ourselves that question. Where is the hope? Is there any hope? And I thought about several things. One is, what about the married couple who seem to just wind up at the same dead end, unresolved conflict over and over and over again? They try to work through these things, and then, man, it just comes back. And where's the hope for that marriage? Or what about the person who's fallen to a victim to drugs and alcohol, and they can't seem to get themselves out of that predicament? For them, where is the hope? Where's the hope for those who are just trapped in the addiction of gambling? Or where's the hope for people who are trapped in any number of addictive behaviors? Where's the hope for this person that is in so deep that he or she fears they'll never find a way out of there? Is there any hope, really? Where's the hope for the mom-to-be who goes to her obstetrician for just a routine checkup and hears those words, because we've heard those, we can't find any heartbeat? We've heard those. What about the single mom who works through a full-time job by day and serves as both mother and father by night and wonders to herself, "Is how long can I just keep this stuff up?" Or the person who battles depression, the person who battles anxiety, or the person, and I've been here with many, many people, and I've stood by that person who stands at their spouse's bedside as they're taking their last breath. Where's the hope? Where's the hope today for the generation of young people who seem to be an easy mark for things like drugs and sexually transmitted diseases and abuse, or just the pain of broken families? Where's the hope? Or something that's really going to be talked about next week. What about the young college student or young high school student who's faced with an unplanned pregnancy? You see, no matter what, where you're at, what side you're on, the pressure is real, and the answers to that situation are confusing, and they're marked, man, with hopelessness. No matter what side of the debate you're on, there's a group that's saying you're wrong for this decision that you make, and then on the other side of the decision, there's a group that's saying you're wrong for the decision you make. And where is the hope in that? Well, loved ones, I'm going to tell you something. These are the very things that the church should be up to their elbows in, providing hope. The question is, then, if that's where we're to be, right? If we're to be up to here in hope, providing hope, where is it? What is the source of the hope? What reason is there to hope? These are the questions that the church needs, should be, has to be wrestling with. So I'm going to just ask you a question, church. Are we wrestling with these things? Are we truly thinking about these things? Are we wrestling with them? Are we speaking into the lives of our community, offering them hope? Man, do we leave church on Sunday morning asking ourselves Mr. Jones's question, right? What just happened? What just happened there in worship, and how am I different? You see, we should be asking those things if we're up to our elbows in the hopelessness of society. This should be a place that whoever walks through the door and comes into this building, that they find hope. I just gave a laundry list of hopeless situations that people are trapped in, but church, we have the answer to the hopelessness of the world. You see, and I told you all that because the dominant theme found throughout this letter from Peter is that there is hope. And it's not just hope, but it's transformational hope. It's radical hope that Peter is offering here. And you know what? We're not talking about some kind of wistful hope, or we're not talking about some kind of, I don't know, cryptic optimism, and that in the end, you know, well, if we just do everything right, if we, you know, cross all of our T's and dot all of our I's, that, well, everything's just going to be all right. It's not that kind of hope, because that's what the world has. You see, they just have this wishful thinking that everything's just going to turn all right because, well, we're a good country and we're a good people and it's going to be okay. Just wait it out. That is what passes for hope in this world. But what I'm talking about today is I'm talking about Christian hope. You see, Christian hope, if you don't know this, Christian hope is a hope that doesn't rest on humankind. You see, Christian hope is a hope that rests on God and on God alone. You see, this hope rests on the living God who is known by His loving deeds. See, this hope is a hope that rests on the power of the Holy Spirit, and it works through people in relational power. You guys know what the vision statement is that we are a church where everyone can come and grow and thrive in relationship with God and others. If you're a Christian, then you're working in relationships all the time. I told you this morning that God's not mad at anybody here today, but that He loves you and He wants to have a relationship with you. So one of the very first things that we have to get through our head then is that this relationship just isn't all about me, but it's about God first. And it's about those He puts in our path. See, I spent a lot of years, you know, just working for myself and did a lot of things on my own, and I found out in that it was tough to have a relationship just with myself. When I tried to think about everything that had to do with me, my relationship with my children went flat, with my wife went flat, with my business associates went flat. When it just became about me, you know what, I found out I can't have a relationship with me. But I got to have a relationship, first of all, with God. And then God puts in front of me people to have relationships with. And He asks me to love them, even the ones that are, well, maybe unlovable. But God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God raised Christ from the dead and gave Him glory, so that our faith and our hope can be in Him. So here's what Christian hope is. Christian hope is the hope that Christ is the only one who offers us something that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And that's hope. Therefore, Peter could say to us, and to the early Christians that he's writing this to, is, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How marvelous, right? And how new was this gift of hope that came to those on that first Christmas, or those first Christians, excuse me. And then Peter writes, in his great mercy, God has given this living and radical hope to the world. You see, the hope that Christ offers us is transformational hope. It's radical hope. And it's not set in the cement of human achievement. Instead, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about the resurrection every Easter, and we go through Lenten services, and you know, we had a Good Friday prayer meeting here, you know, where we just gathered and pray and we talk about all these things. But I still wonder, is there times, if we really stop and think about what it meant to humanity when Christ rose from the dead that day? You see, there was a lot of rumors going around about Jesus all those years. And you know, when he rose to that, it turned out about all of those things weren't just a myth or weren't just some stories, that they weren't fables, and that they weren't these dreamy possibilities that somebody just conjured up. But it became real, and it was a free act of God's mercy and love. And it communicated hope and relationship to us. You see, God did something for us that we can't do for ourselves, and no amount of human energy or money could ever pay for it. So this gift of living hope is appreciated so greatly by those who know what it's like to live under the bondage of despair. Now, I don't know what everybody else is going through or has went through in their life. But you know, there's times in my life where I lived under the bondage of despair. And it wasn't until I had a confrontational, purposeful interaction with Jesus Christ, with the God of the universe, that brought me out of that bondage and set me in the light of hope and love and glory. And if we take a moment today and just think about the situation in which Peter is writing, you know, he lived in the Roman civilization. He lived under their rule. And think about those days. And there's still much architectural and art that has survived from that day. But Peter grew up in this day of a Roman civilization which abounded with beauty. I mean, it was crazy with courage. There was a lot of intellectualism going around. But no matter what they had, the beauty and the intelligence, the education and all those things, it was a world without hope. You see, those who were economically and politically well off, they were still living lives that just had no satisfaction in it. Enough. There was no such thing as enough. They had this idea that there's no such word as enough. People's lives were, well, continually being threatened, and old age was faced with fear. They had lives that were just full of tragedy. And some people came to the very point in their lives where death was something to be desired over a life that, well, simply was going to end anyway. Didn't really matter. In the end, it was going to be over. Now, I want you to hear something. I want to bring it into today, kind of today. In the 1960s, there was this rock band named The Who. And they had this song that really kind of summed up the thinking of the Roman world, and it summed up the thinking of many of the generations from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and of today. And it was living without hope, which comes from the resurrection. And oddly enough, you want to know what that song was entitled? It was titled My Generation. And the band would just yell out these lyrics that said, "Man, I hope I die before I get old." I mean, that just wasn't the Roman world that looked at it that way, but 20th century, United States, England, and all the European influence that goes on there, that they hope they die before they get old because it was all really just hopelessness and useless anyway. You know, to everyone who's ever been overcome by such frustrating sense of despair and meaningless, here's the point: that God has opened the true destiny of life for you and for me and for everyone who believes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is history's greatest miracle. By Christ's resurrection, loved ones, God has lit this inextinguishable hope in those who have experienced new birth. Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be any Christian church. You want to know why without the resurrection there wouldn't be a Christian church? Because Christianity is a resurrection religion. Everything that we believe, everything that we do, is centered on the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Everything that we talk about focuses on life, and life to the full, not death and dying. Sometimes, man, and I look around, and maybe on Sunday morning, and I wonder, man, are we really celebrating today the fact that we are celebrating life? We need to look up. We need to have smiles on our face, because no matter what the world throws at you, you know what? It really can't hurt you because you have eternal life. Whether the life in this body or the body to come, there's nothing in this world that can destroy you. But we walk around, man, like, wow, things are really tough today. The Red Wings got eliminated. They didn't even make the playoffs. Man, life is tough. I hope I die before I get old. The Wings aren't in the playoffs. You laugh. You're not from Detroit. The resurrection is history's greatest miracle. Without the resurrection, there'd be no Christian church. So I'm just going to wrap this part up just by saying this, is that the hope produced by the resurrection is living, and it is an active reality, and it produces the life of hope in which the eternal power of God is at work. Now this life finds its hope in the anchor of the one who is alive even now. So again, it's not produced on human wishes. It's not contingent upon the passing and perishing of hopes of this time-bound world. But it's all about Jesus and this unique and personal event. So that's what Christians celebrate every Sunday. I'm even going to say it a little different. That's what Christians should be celebrating every single day of their lives, because the resurrection, which we are a part of, is the crowning triumph of life in this universe. You know, in the beginning, God created, you know, order out of chaos, and He brought light into darkness, and then He created human life, and He did it in His very own image. And then finally, when our love failed Him by the resurrection, God found a way through Jesus Christ to bring reconciliation between us and Him. And so I want you to leave today with the blessed assurance that Christ isn't just this historical figure, but that He is alive today and He lives within us always. You see, Christ is our assurance and promise from God that the future has meaning and that in all things God works to the good of those who love Him. That the last word is the life that the resurrection brings. That those who are saved through new birth can face the future with a spirit of victory and confront trials without the deep darkness of despair. You know what I found out? That, yep, life is still pretty good, even though the Wings are playing golf right now. It's not going to get me down. It's going to be all right. Now, I know there might be some Ranger fans here that can't get over it, but I can. I can get over it. Transformational hope, radical hope, loved ones, is so important for those of us who are suffering in some way and may only see more pain and worry ahead. And I want to encourage us today that we all need to take a break from those dark clouds of the future and grab hold of the vision of hope that, hey, no matter what, we're going to make it to glory. Now, I'm not talking about a hope that clings to a faded dream or I'm not talking about a dead hope, but I'm talking about a breathing hope, a hope which is anchored in Jesus Christ being raised up from the dead. I think you get the theme of what I'm trying to say here. Our hope relies in Jesus. I don't know if I can say it enough, but our hope is anchored and centered in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus lives, and that fact means that we too shall live. Our future is not in the hands of fate or some destiny or karma, but it is in the hands of God. What I'm trying to give to you today is good news. That no matter what is going on in your life, it doesn't have to stay that way. But there's hope, radical, transformational hope for you, because I'm human, and I know it's easy to become depressed about just where we are in our life. We may be disappointed about the way we fall into temptation again and again and again. And man, we may be down and out about the sicknesses we suffer, the business failures we experience, the family problems we face, the decisions that we make. Now, I'm not standing up here just to make light of or belittle the pain that these things cause. That's not my point at all. And these troubles, as well as a multitude of other troubles, they hurt us a great deal. And if we let them, they can defeat us. They can bring us down, and we can crash, and we can burn. But I want to encourage you today, Christian, we always, not sometimes, or not temporarily, but we always and permanently live in hope. We always carry around within us confidence, trusting in God that our future is rock solid and it's secure. And here's the thing. See, we pass that hope on to others in relational truth. We're a church where everyone can come and grow and thrive in relationship with God and others. Just look to the person next to you, if there's somebody next to you, and say, "You're that other." Go ahead. Don't be shy. See, we pass on in relationship the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Now, as I know we know this, but we don't always know what life has in store for us. And without a doubt, it will be filled with all kinds of ups and downs. But I want you to know today, one last time, that you can walk around in the knowledge, in the confident knowledge that God loves us and cares for us, for you and for me, and is constantly living with us. You see, we have this living hope because we have a living Savior raised up to life from the grave who is able to relate to all of our weaknesses. Now, I want to understand this. I'm circling the airport here. I'm figuring out how we're going to bring this to an end. But I want us to know a couple more things. And I understand that, you know, that we never probably may never know complete freedom from problems of our life as we're walking around here on earth, you know. Each one of us has a personal struggle or of one kind or another, and maybe that personal struggle will be with us to the day that we die. Myself is I'm a type 1 diabetic, and you know what? I'm going to carry that with me to the day that I die. And it brings a whole set of physical problems, you know, physical things that I have to worry about yourself. You know, there's always going to, so I guess I'm saying that to remind us that there's always going to be something going on in our lives that reminds us that, hey, we live in a world that is broken. And a broken world sometimes can break our bodies. But you know what? I'm not hard on myself, and I don't want you to be hard on yourself, because the Apostle Paul was no stranger to the trial in life himself. But I want you to listen to how Paul expresses the radical Christian hope. Here's what he said. He said to the church, he said, "We are often troubled, but we're not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though deeply hurt at times, we're not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." Now listen to this. "For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." He wrote that to the Corinthian church. And it is in this hope that keeps our troubles in perspective. Our troubles come and our troubles go, but the joy of heaven is forever. And so with that, loved ones, I leave you with the promise that God loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And there's nothing that you could ever do in your life that God hasn't already seen, that he hasn't already worked through, and that he hasn't already forgiven. So you know what? Stand and rejoice, for you are a child of the King. Amen? Amen. Let's worship, though. We have a song to sing.